not going to waste any time in getting up here because the time is short. Now that Mr. Gutierrez is ordained, he can now take some ribbing, right? And I would have had plenty of time except for his ordination here today, so he kind of cut me short. We'll leave that up to him now. Well, I appreciate being here, and I am very pleased about the ordination. We can always use the help. God's work can always use the help. And if there's not a niche, I found that God would open it sooner or later. Like we had different employees in the office, and sometime one would be kind of rattling around a little bit like a marble in a can, but pretty soon, bang, some circumstances would come up, and it was a perfect fit. So that's what we can look forward to now, more responsibilities and more events. Now, many times I've heard it said by Mr. Armstrong, got to give meat in due season. As I say, I always thought this was a little statement of his, you know, that he kind of made up and threw out. But then I found in Matthew 24, 45 and 46, it says that the faithful and the wise steward is going to be giving food to the household in due season. So there was a scriptural backup for it. I'll have to apologize to him when I see him and realize that it was scriptural and not just something he, you know, conjured up, kind of encouraged the congregations. So Pentecost is just around the corner, so that obviously is going to be a partial topic here, or the topic. But in, it comes down to Pentecost. We have many different, it's broken down in many different pieces, more than this, but here are some. Like you got the question of counting 50. You have the wave sheath offering. You have the fact that the Holy Spirit was only given in part in the Old Testament and more fully in the New Testament. And given to mankind for the first time, it was poured out for that broad spectrum. Then you have different functions of the Holy Spirit. So the topic of the Holy Spirit is a very large topic, and while putting this together, I found that out. I found out, hey, I put together too much, so I had to take it apart and put it back together again in a smaller piece. Now I got to take it apart again and put it to get a smaller piece. But I say that in jest, of course. But it all works out for good because I find I got two or three other sermons that I can use for other times, so nothing is wasted. So today we're going to discuss a few of the functions of the Holy Spirit. That's going to be the way I've got it broken down. A few of the functions of the Holy Spirit. Now some statistics first. The word to teach how large this topic is and how important it is, the word Holy Spirit is used about 105 times. That's with a capital S. And if you use just the Spirit with a small s, it's 574 times the Spirit is used. So you add that up, right? I see that Liz is adding it up. She teaches math, you know. The only problem is she's using her fingers. That bothers me a little bit. You lose a little confidence that way, Liz. But I'll add it up. It adds up to 681 times that the Holy Spirit is mentioned. So you can see it's not going to be possible to cover all of that. If I did, some of the men here I know would be nodding off, falling off their chairs, and injuring themselves, right? So we're just going to cover small aspect today. So let's start with what are some of the ways that the Holy Spirit was used in the Old Testament. In Psalms 104, 30, it says, "You send forth your Spirit, and they are created." There's a long list in there of what's being created. It says, "You renew," now by your Spirit, "you renew the face of the earth." Now that's very interesting because, you know, when we go back to Genesis, we know that the Spirit was hovering over the waters at the time the earth was going to be recreated. And the word there for hover is like move. It was moving somehow. So that's one way it was used in the Old Testament. One, in Psalms 148:5, he commanded, and they were created. He commanded, and they were created. So it seems that God just has the power that when he orders something, he just orders it to be created. And then projected through that Holy Spirit, it's done. It's accomplished. He don't have to worry about somebody coming back and saying, well, no, I didn't quite do it that way. No, I didn't quite get it accomplished. It is done just by his order. And that just kind of, when you just read some of these small things, it again gives a greater view of the all-inspiring power that God the Father has. And of course, he did this through Jesus Christ, which was the Word at the time. So sometimes the Holy Spirit was with men in the Old Testament, and sometimes it was in men. Now, it was in them. It was usually to impart an extra power. Well, I want to comment on that about the power bit. It imparted power, the Spirit did. It gave them that extra oomph, if I can just use that term, in their service to God, that encouragement, that strength to do away with the fear of what they had to do. And again, you've got to read these scriptures and you find that the people that proclaimed the gospel were men. They were men. Elijah, remember he hid away. He was fearful. Why? Because he was a man. But God gave him his spirit, so he did go out and proclaim what he had to proclaim. He did fulfill the mission, but it was by the power of God working in and through the human flesh, which has fears, and it has all the other attributes of the flesh. But the God, his Holy Spirit, overcomes that. So some scriptures along that line where the Spirit was given for an empowerment is Deuteronomy 27:18. And Deuteronomy 27:18, and Deuteronomy 34:9, where Joshua was empowered with leadership, with skill and wisdom. Skill and wisdom. He needed that, and God gave it to him. Judges 6:34, the Spirit empowered Gideon to deliver Israel from the enemies. Remember, he was concerned. God, are you sure you're with me? Let me put this fleece out. Well, God, I know you answered the prayer about the fleece, but let me do it again so we get another input from you. See, ambivalent, but nevertheless, God gave him that spirit, so he did go forward and deliver Israel. Exodus 31:3 and 35:31 and 34. Bezuel was given a special skill. He was an artisan. He wasn't some great man you read in the Bible that delivered Israel from all the foes and had a lot of hoopla about him. He was just a man that God gave skills. And he could build the tabernacle and the temple and the different furnishings that were there in the tabernacle. And he could do it. See, I had some relatives, and some relatives, they were skilled in building. They could build. We put a porch on our house, our relative a carpenter, he didn't even need plans. Just go out there, bang, 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 cut, and you cut with saw, with your muscle, and put up a beautiful fitted, perfectly level, plumb, as we say. And that's what God inspired beyond that, so that his temple, tabernacle, and the furnishings in would be perfect. And Haggai 2:5. God instructs Zerubbabel not to fear. Again, fear was in these men. We have to understand that so we can appreciate the job that we have to do. We don't reject it and say, look, I'm only a man or a woman. I'm only human. No, but God's Spirit will be there to carry us through to complete the mission, whatever it might be, that he assigns to us. So Zerubbabel was told not to fear because the Spirit is going to be among them. So the presence of God, as we see now, or the Holy Spirit, dispels fear. If we can be filled with that Spirit, it'll help dispel the fear in accomplishing the duties we have to do. Now, what was the major shift? Now, what was the major shift in God's use of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament? There was a change that had taken place. I might go back. I don't have the citation here, but take one step back. It says that the Holy Spirit spoke through David. David, the Holy Spirit spoke to him and what he said. So when you hear these psalms that are sung, you know that they were inspired, not just by David, but by the Holy Spirit within him. And I want to say, incidentally, I really appreciated that first song the choir sung, especially. For some reason, there's something about that tune that just kind of moves me inside. I don't know what it is, but there's something about it. So what's the major shift that God has now in the New Testament? In Acts 1, 4, and 5, Jesus told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem. Stay there. Wait. Don't leave. That's a command. That's an order. And wait for the fulfillment of the Father's promise. The Father's promise for them to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. So in Matthew 3:11, remember that one? That's where John the Baptist, talking about Jesus, he says, this man that's coming here, whose shoelaces I'm not worthy to tie or to untie, he is going to baptize you. He says, I'm baptizing with water only. He didn't say only, but that was implied. But this man, Jesus, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So that all fits in part of it. Now, the Father's promise that was spoken of was to send the Holy Spirit with this major outpouring. See, in Joel 1:1, it says that what was recorded by Joel, what? Was the word of the Lord. It was the word of the Lord that he recorded. So in Joel 2:28-31, Joel describes this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But that was God speaking in and through him. So that was the promise of the Father. That's what was spoken of there. In Acts 2:39, the promise of the Holy Spirit was not just to the disciples. It was not, but to those who were far off as well. Those far off, Jews and Gentiles, and what else? And to all that God may call. So you see, this was a worldwide outpouring at this time for those whom God had called. Not for everybody, but those whom he called. And then when called, he will give the Spirit and he will empower by that Spirit. So here we do not have the Spirit being parceled out to certain individuals, you know, to accomplish some local task, as it was in the Old Testament. We don't have that. Now we got a complete pouring out. And in John 7:37, when I say complete, I don't mean it was final, but at least it was a much more of a pouring out, a major pouring out of God's Spirit, making it more available. In John 7:37, it tells us that the Holy Spirit, you see, was not yet given. In the Old Testament, it wasn't given to all mankind, just a few select, because Jesus wasn't glorified. That was the condition that had to take place first. That's why Jesus said in John, you know, it's expedient for that I go away. It's better that I go away, because here I'm in the flesh and I'm down here just teaching you one at a time, but the Spirit's going to be with everybody that God calls and gives it to teach them as well. So he says it's expedient that I go away. So we have to understand that Pentecost was a big, monumental event in the fulfilling, the commencement of the fulfilling of God's great master plan for this world. It was a big event, not just something that we read, oh, that's another event. No, big, big time. In Genesis 12:3, this was part of it when he announced to Abraham. It's kind of started there, started before, but there was a major event when he said to Abraham, Abraham, it is through you and your families that the earth shall be blessed. All the families of the earth shall be blessed. That was the commencement. And now this baton has been passed to us to continue that and to carry it out. The Church of Israel. Not that Israel's replaced. There's still a place for physical Israel. But we in the church are spiritual Israel, and we've got this baton. And it brings to mind when Mr. Armstrong was talking to us. Well, just before he died, he said he was going to pass the baton. He's going to pass the baton. Unfortunately, it was dropped by some, but it was picked up again. And hopefully, it can be picked up and carried across the goal line this time. Okay, so what was one of the major ways that God used the Holy Spirit in the New Testament? One of the major ways. He stated that in Acts 1:8, he stated that the disciples shall receive power. Power when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. Now, he didn't say, in my mind, that the Holy Spirit was only a power. He just said when you get the Holy Spirit, part of the manifestations of it is going to be power. So in Acts 2:4, it says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, this is the spiritual equipment that God gave those in the Old Testament, and he gives us in the New Testament. We need equipment. We are supposed to be a soldier of God. Remember, the army is supposed to go forth. You get into the service, one of the first things they do is take away your civilian clothes, and you're standing there, and they start to issue you your equipment. You need equipment to carry out the particular job that God has given you to do. And that's what the Spirit does. It fills you and starts to give you that equipment that you need. So in Acts 1:8, the mission of the disciples was not limited. It was not limited to some local event, just go out and do this or do that, like in the Old Testament, win this battle or do that thing. No, this was the big push. This was the big push of God's great master plan. This was like the landing on Normandy. It just wasn't an individual little skirmish here or there, a little firefight. It was the big landing. Everything we had was poured into it. And that's what God was doing here. The mission was to the disciples, not limited. So in Acts 1:8, the disciples were to be what? A witness to God in Jerusalem, right? Jerusalem. And in Judea. Got a little bigger. And in Samaria, got a little bigger yet. And to the ends of the earth. That's about as big as you can get for a human being. Because we don't believe there's life out there on Mars. We have to worry about going there. The earth is big enough for us to handle to try to get the gospel out. Believe it. It's hard enough. Well, we're coming to the closing time here, and I don't want to jump too far ahead. It's just the idea now that we have this day. We want to go back. We want to read some of these 700 scriptures that they got about God's Spirit and start to capture the big picture of what he has done for us on Pentecost. And not only what he has done for us, the big factor is what he expects from us in return. And that's another sermon for another day. But study the scriptures, and the picture of God's great mission will become clearer and clearer by the power of the Spirit.